How many times have I said, though he loves corporate worship, he loves it, he delights in it when you come before him as you and just use the words that you'd use to tell him that you love him. When he taught me that confession that I made, it was when I was breaking into worship and private. Usually I couldn't find any other kind but private to worship as much as I knew I was going to because of how he dealt with me. So in this private worship, I just went into a cubicle and I knew it was starting another era of something that he wanted to do and get involved in with his power. So when some of it began to come forward, he called me home. In a couple of places, I was at when Russia opened, and I was there. And then India was ministering with Brother Dinakaran in India. And then in both of these, I had to come back home. And he wanted me to do a season here. And though that was the era that Gary, you know, every Christmas. Everybody stuffed themselves with turkeys and everything. Then here comes the fasting message. Every year. Just every year, Gary go, oh no. And so, in the fasting message, I employed that key to that door, and then it added another piece of foundation to my life, and then meditation and imagery and all these things that cause the word to work in us. Now, there's two kinds of confession. There's one actually that I noticed the difference in. There were two teachers I sat under. And after I would confess the word over a pain or something, then I'd walk away like I believe in it, and pain would act up. I'd say, no, you're healed. So mostly when I would be reminded of it and it would hurt me, that would be when I'd confess the word over it. It was another way. It was taught it was to go on into your prayer room and wherever you're at there and then start speaking the word over it. I said, no, I said, I'm healed. I am calling myself healed. I want to worship you and thank you, Father God, because I have been healed. And boy, we're talking about some of them hour after hour. They would go in, do that day after day, hour after hour. But some of the results was absolutely incredible. I was in that time when I saw some of them take place. The things that would happen to people that would come out of stuff. I mean, man. And so some verses would bother me. You know, verses like, don't be repetitious like the Pharisees and Sadducees. They like to be heard for their much speaking. And I thought, is that what I'm doing? Much speaking, you know? No, I'm calling myself healed. Or you're believing for something else and you keep making the confession. 5 or 6 or 7 or 10 great examples that people got healed on. It's pretty great people. Some pretty established people. But when it would go something like this. There was a man born to his parents who was born paralyzed. He could communicate a little. And he kind of grew up that way. And And then somewhere along the line, they came into a message and of confession and things and began confessing over their child. So it was the wife that was the stronger object in it. But he would help her dress him in the morning and he'd go off to work. She would drag him across the floor saying, "No, you walk in Jesus' name." I said, "You're walking. You're walking." And drag him. "You're walking. Yeah, yeah." Confess the word over him hour after hour. And that went on, I don't know how many long. I guess it wore most people out. But one day, when the husband come back in from work, they did what they usually did. They dressed him, got him ready for bed, and they put him in there. One thing she was asking God is to give him a gifting with it. Just give him a gifting with it. And so that particular night they went to bed. And they were in their bedroom. And all of a sudden, something like the fifth cantata by Bach filled the room, filled the house. He said, "Did you leave the radio on?" "No." "Did you leave it on?" "No." "And what is it?" They got up and went in the room and their son was sitting at the piano playing. They said, "Son, what happened?" He said, "After you went to bed, Jesus came in to my room. He laid down on the bed by me and we talked. Then got up together." He says, "You know, you asked him to give me a gift. That's what he gave me." Went in and played. I don't know how many years, but they wouldn't stop. They wouldn't stop. Same thing with a woman that wore a rug out by walking around the coffee table in the front room. They wore it out. She was a teacher and got cancer or something in her liver and was supposed to die. And walked around and around and wore a hole in that. At one day, all of a sudden, he comes. New liver. See, you can't keep saying the word over and over and over without it doing something to you. You can't do it. I say for the sake of teaching. You know, I've said that enough. I'll use my example. If I was an oil magnate, this filthy rich, I live on an oil swell. You know those little mountains right out there? The little hills that go over? Just over? Those are oil swells. They got pumps on them all over. So I'm an oil magnate, but I want more money. So I secure some holdings in England. So I go to England and it comes through. So I'm going to be there a while. My old Texan friends say, "Don't you ever come back, friend, speaking like a Brit. All that sort of rot." "Can we hold it up?" "Okay. Don't you dare." So he did get caught up there about 20 years. And he comes back. They went out to have some coffee. And the Texans' cups, oil Texan magnates, was this big. So their friend was sitting out at the other end of the table. He was looking really funny. And the waiter comes in and sets him down a little spot of tea. And when he grabbed the little spot of tea, his fingers went to, when his little finger went up, he went. They said, "We didn't think you would ever do that. Never." And they says, "Tally, hold the fox. Won't you ride with us anymore?" Or that stuff. And he goes, "Tally, hold the fox. I say there, old chap, what's got you so upset? I've made $2 billion since I left my good man. Tally-ho, tally-ho." "So you said you'd never talk like that, partner. Never." Does a child stand on an airplane wing and say, "I will learn the language of this country? No, they don't. They assimilate it. What was it in that oil magnate's mind that from hearing it and hearing it and hearing it, it programmed that way till he actually spoke that way? What do you think's happening in you? And you will not address a problem but with the truth day after day after day. You're going to end up believing it because it's going to cut a groove in your faith zone somewhere. You're going to end up believing it. Have you done that kind of things? I have. Well, it's a... How come I can give you a paragraph and you read it? And I take it away from you and you can't quote it back. But if I give it to you and you read it 30 or 40 times, you can quote it back. If you could quote it back after 30, 40 times, how come you couldn't quote it back when you read it once? You had the same equipment in there. You know. What would happen if that power got a hold of your ability to meditate the Word of God book by book? Somebody says, "You don't have any notes in your Bible." I said, "Yes, I do. They're the scriptures. I put a dot by them. They tell me where I'm at." See, he says, you could say to that mountain, "Be removed and cast into the sea. If you doubt not in your heart, you'll have what you say with your mouth." Well, doubting not in the heart, is if you are, and to not do it, it's a transition's made that you can go from not doubting in your heart, from doubting in your heart. You can go. And I found out that it has something to do with offering myself to Him. What happens even in my mind? When I read the smaller books to practice this out, I'd read the smaller books, preferably written by the same author, same apostle. And pretty soon I'm finding that this part is identifying with this part. And oh, this is what this means, because it's identifying with both of them. And all of a sudden, these things start going out, and the pieces I lacked would come together. But don't mind telling you, things had begun to happen. Yeah. I don't know why he threw me on this morning. But I know one thing. If God says something can change, I don't have to leave it the same. Hallelujah, Jesus. And I'm stubborn. And I cashed in on it, stubborn. Hallelujah. Well, what happened in your mind? I read this paragraph once. Well, quote it back to me. I can't. I don't have a photographic memory. Well, obviously Adam did, or nobody'd have one. Quote it back to me. Well, I can't. then how come after you read it 20 times you can? What took place in your mind? Can I really harness that in meditation? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, standeth in the way of sinners, sat in the seat of the scornful. His delight's in the word of God, and in it does he meditate day and night. And you're like the tree with a root system that sends the river, the leaves never fails, and it brings forth the fruit every due season. Well, he said meditate day and night. I couldn't understand how I could crawl in there, get a scripture, or get the word out, meditate day and night. But I do understand how to meditate day and night now. When I go one, read each book 5, 6, 7 times, which I couldn't do with one reading, pretty soon this truth pops up. It goes over there and connects into this one and into that one. He says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I say, well, when does that really mean? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what the word of God meant in there, not you. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what the Word has said about it. Whew. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Te acosila mo kendisi. Sukrando holeki hemo heskere sado oma edisi. Vela mo kere no sore nechi. This starts out really good. For all things are truly possible to him that believeth. But yet, why would I say these things to you, that all things are possible? Why would I say that if there wasn't a way for you to attain to them? I say, you're on your own. I'm going to go home and pray. You guys have what you got. If you want to come. I had a feeling some of you didn't believe me. Hallelujah, Jesus. Well, it wasn't a... I don't know. It was 2 weeks ago. 2 or 3 weeks ago that it, presence kind of came on me, and I'm going, what do you want? And then all of a sudden, he taught me something a few years ago, and then it went back to that, what he taught me, and then back, and I could hear our water level. I could hear rain and our water level. And our water level's not too high. You say, well, how come you're talking about this? It's because of what I heard. We're kind of in a drought. And we could, you know, really have our water supply boosted if we have another bad year. It's not going to be so good. So I said, well... I remember a few years ago I got excited about this, but what do you want? And what he wanted us to do is pray for rain. So why don't you open up to, let me see this book, I think I've read out of it before. Romans 8, yeah, that's it. I know this service is different. How many believes the water is going to come up? Romans 8. And when we kick in, it will be about, how about the 18th verse? I've been through the other thoroughly. With the 18th verse it says, Romans 8. For I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature, it's waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature or creation was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who subjected the same in hope. In hope of what? New heaven, new earth, and with us a glorified body. Well, he goes on to say, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, or be made complete. When will that be? At the redemption of our body. For we're saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, what does he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, we do then with patience wait for it. All right, we're stuck in this body here. But in 26 verses, he says, likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. And of course, he's talking about the help the Holy Spirit gives us when we're waiting for the adoption to be made complete at our glorified body. When we get that, we'll be there. But meanwhile, the Spirit also helps your infirmities. You say, I don't know how to pray as I ought. And he steps in, excuse me, makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Then you can know all things work together for the good of them love God and call according to his purpose. Brother Roberson, you don't understand. And cars run over people to get killed all the time. They're murdered. Unmentionable. See? Likewise, the Spirit helps our infirmity. Don't know how to pray as well, but he makes intercession for us. Then we can begin to know all things are worked together for the good to them that love God and called according to his purpose. Meaning, now the things that you're working in your life through the praying and the Holy Ghost and him helping you while you're waiting for the adoption to be made complete and you get your glorified body, then you're working your future out in front of you. Then we can know all things that work together for the good, them that love God and called according to his purpose. Well, I know about my body. I'm getting a glorified body. Do you know where the DNA is for your glorified body? It is in her born again spirit. That's why a transformation takes place. It is. That's right. When you were born again, and then your born again spirit is the DNA for the glorified body that you're going to be transformed to. Hallelujah. Well, then adoption will be made complete. Na, 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 na. There'll be a millennial. We're going to have a new heaven and a new earth. But meanwhile, this one, it's laboring in the same imperfection we were, waiting for the adoption to be made complete. It's laboring under this imperfection. Actually, it's terminating. Earthquakes, storms, droughts, it's terminating. It doesn't have too long. I know it's over 1,000 years because God's going to look up in 1,000 years. And the whole universe is going to, heaven and earth is going to flee away in a roaring sound. They looked again, and then we had a new one. But meanwhile, we're stuck here. And this one is laboring in imperfection, and is terminating, just like my body. No, I know I look too good. I'm not terminating. I had adoption papers served on me. Adoption to be made complete at the redemption of my body. Ooh, but meanwhile, I'm stuck in one. Have you ever noticed this morning that your body takes disease if you let it? Did you notice that? Anybody? My body will take disease, but I don't have to let it. I don't have to receive it. Yeah? Well, he said the same thing about the planet. It's terminating. We're going to have a new heaven and it's laboring in imperfection too. And my house, where my feet are, that's my home. So I don't have to take a tornado either. I don't have to take a disease, even though my body will. And I don't have to take a tornado, even though my house will. It's laboring under the same imperfection that we are because it's terminating. Our body's terminating. I don't care. If I just keep it, it'll die off of me anyway because it's only going to live so long, so is the planet. Why do you think Jesus walked on water? To show off. Yeah, that's what he did it for. To show off. Why did he still the storm? He wanted to show the apostles, look what I can do. Showing off. Why did it come just walking across the water? Oh, he's showing off. He could have flew. he just kept showing off. Or was he? Let me see if I can get this right. The works I do, you'll do also in greater works than these. Because I go to the Father. Oh, we better talk about Paul. Poor Paul. He got thrown in a Roman sewer. Rome had a sewer system. They were pretty advanced, you know. Anyway, that's where he was chained. Have you spent any time chained in a sewer system? He got out. What I loved about Paul, even though it's the Abbey of the Three Gates, he was beheaded, but he's the one that said, I fought a good fight. I ran a good race. I'm ready to be offered, so don't think you're the one taking me off the planet. I am. When they threw him in jail and God didn't want him in there, he just opened the doors. He's just showing off. Let me show you something. I can get you out of here, but don't go back. Why would he say all that? In the works that I do, you'll do also. And greater than these. Well, one time a tornado was coming towards our house. It's coming up the hill. Didn't even look like it would clear our mountain. What did you do? I screamed and ran and hid. No, I didn't. I got out there and bound it in the name of Jesus and told it, I don't want you killing people here. You know, so you, what do you want me to do? Divert it off to the neighbor's house? No, I just stood up and says, you lift back up out of here and you dissipate, you know. It went up. It went up, and then it went over, made downtown Tulsa, and went on out, and it was gone. And they was warning our area. Gone. Well, how many times has drought been broken? Many times. So come on. He come on me with that. So, what is today? So, my body will take disease because it's dying. It's terminating. I don't have to take it. This planet, it can take those catastrophes because it's terminating. But we're here. This is where we're having revival. We're here and we are not going to go away. We're not going to. Hallelujah. Tu me sequalacha. Hi, Ama. Hallelujah. So, would you stand with me? Remember, Jesus didn't do those things. Not one time to show off. His plan can go on when He can intervene in it and fix what's trying to destroy it. When I went to the special place to have a weekend meeting, and they put me on a cooking show at the end of the revival, filled a hotel. They had a coffee pot. And they didn't realize it. But a couple of hundred people must have got their coffee out of it. And it was only that big. And nobody made any more. They brought that to me, however true it was. Then several times in the camp meetings, sometimes we'd have 1,000 preachers out, and they'd have food come in, but the container sometime would quit going down. So I hadn't mentioned that too much before, but I have a feeling in these last days there'll be more of that kind of power being released also. The devil's taken a long time to program almost all the power out of the church. Why don't we go get it back by emptying a few hospitals? What's the town going to do? Especially the children's hospital. What are they going to do? What's the mayor going to do? What's going to happen? Who's going to tell the hundreds of parents that come in to pick them up that we don't know what was that? There's nothing to it, I'm sure. They'd say, oh, shut up. God did it. You know what? That's the kind Jesus had. He'd stop your funeral possession and give you back to your mama. Come on. When He had me come in and gave me endurance way 20-something years ago, when He called me back from meetings of 600,000 or 700,000 within, and with Russia, breaking Russia open. So I came back because He wanted me to learn something connected with endurance for what He's going to give us here. And don't you know that kind of revival I just described to you almost can't take place unless He finishes what He's doing with the love of God in our presence. Hear me. That's why He brought me back. I've made a little progress. I'm happy about it. So, how many will set yourself in agreement with me? Father, as we went over this scripture, with imperfection of this planet, we know it's terminating. But we also know that we have the authority that You gave us for droughts, for destruction, just the way that You handled them, even feeding the multitudes. We know. And the sick people, and even the crazy ones that hung out in the graveyard, You delivered. You caused chaos wherever You went. So Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, what we're doing is asking for rain to stop a drought and to fill up our water supply up to the top. And we want to give You all the praise, honor, and glory, and we'll continue to receive the revival You gave us. Hallelujah. We'll continue on that track. We going there in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We're going there. Hallelujah. Remember that when a tornado sound goes off in your area. Remember that. Why wouldn't more be known? Why wouldn't more be understood? All the things that I did, that I promised on, I can do again, saith the Lord. So brace yourself and be strong. What do you think a revival's made out of you? What do you think causes a city to hang on the edge of excitement? Come with me and you'll find out. But be brave and be strong, for it will not be without persecution. Hallelujah. So Father, I thank you for water. I don't care if it's cold water. I thank you for water, and our reservoirs are full. In Jesus' name, be healed, reservoirs. Yes! Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Whew. I'm going to go buy a bathing suit. Snorkels. For many, many wonderful things will be seen. For caps have been put on. Some of the greatest miracles and movings that's in my desire to give. That you continue on your path. For did I not say that He would guide you into all truth? Therefore, stand fast and know that truly the works that I do, you shall do also. And even that greater work that you went on to get many, many, many born again. But when I'm free to move the way I moved in those times, then it will cause quite a stir. And not only your city, but in the cities surrounding. So be a good cheer. I saw two lines. And if what I saw is what I believe I'm interpreting, is one was the greasy grace, the radicality of the greasy grace, the radical greasy grace. I saw two lines. One truly looked slick. It really did. It was sliding by. But the other one came and passed it up. Passed it up. So he parked me back here. And in that season, to put the rest of that on my foundation so that I could go on. If I would have saw that much love back there, I would have probably went all inclusive. The first Adam died, lost the whole world. The second Adam, he was made alive and saved the whole world. Well, why would they be a hell's fire? There's misprint in scriptures and stuff. They got it wrong in there. But now I know. Now I know. Get a muscle like the hand to skid it. So at it. Lord, hey, mo. Benki still up to me. I don't need so. For these things I did for you. I didn't understand it. These things I did for you. I did for myself. Because I didn't want to lose you. So these miracles I have provided through bearing your sicknesses and your diseases, I did for you because I love you. Huh. not quite used to this. From times past, many times I said, if you only knew the love that I have for this, that you'd turn it loose. But you will know. That you will know. Because there is coming a time here for my love will be known as it's not been known. Who can I say that in many places? Boy, this is the first I've heard a lot about his love from interpretation. I was looking for the worthy foe. Can't serve God and mammon. And I wondered what the devil would use for a takeout when people, you know, can't serve God and mammon. So I was wondering, in the fullness of God's love, what kind of weapon do you think you have, Satan? Well, pretty successful at, with the power and money can make you and give you and turn you into anything you want. You get enough. The Lord told me or showed me. He said that you used to be money's servant. You could only do what it would let you. He said, but the love of God will eradicate that. And money will become your servant, not you. It. When a person uses a person with greed, you're going to get a lot of stuff back, you know, if you give to. You appeal to the person's greed. It's a sad day. That when you give to have more money, but don't really care much about. I'll give if I'll get 100-fold return back. Is that your reason? I guess so. Well, then I can give more. Yeah, what, to get more? I'm not going to serve money. It's going to serve me. If I was going to walk in fear, it would be of missing services that are coming up here. You don't want to hear about them from somebody else. I'm beginning to understand the last key and the big door, the revival that was there because of what's behind the door, the fullness of his love. But the key, I don't know. For the first time, I've had my hands on the key for a moment. It's not far away. You remember the wallet thing I did? It's not far away. Did you know that I literally saw crowds gathering around something that had happened? Word got out. And the crowd could only get so close. So they were fanning out like in a field and places where they could stand. And it's because of what they heard that somebody said happened. And if I get it correctly, it was totally in tune with the town, meaning it would be somebody there that they all knew. So they knew who and what and the whole condition of it. And the reason they was gathering in, because the guy is standing there whole. don't think we'll ever do greater works than Jesus did just spontaneously. We won't. That wasn't what he was talking about. When he said, the works I do, you'll do also in greater than these. But yet he tagged, for I go to the Father. Well, yeah, but what did he have to do? He had to die in your place. Then the born-again experience wasn't even available. He had to die in your place. Pay the price. Then a greater miracle that you could do than he did, he couldn't even do it then. But stand there and take somebody by the hand and get them born again, and they'll go from death to life. That's the greater miracle. And of course, he couldn't do it then. Hallelujah, Jesus.